when you're offering yourself to God what you're actually doing for your life. Just by offering yourself to Him, you're causing growth in your life. I feel this in my heart to do this right now. And I don't want to get in the way of anything. But I feel the anointing of God all over me in this place. And I'm here to tell you tonight, God is still on the throne. He has, nor will He fail. And He is in the midst of our needs. Hallelujah. 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 He's worthy to be praised tonight. He's worthy to be admired tonight. Oh, I thank you, Lord God. I'm telling you, the devil tried every which way he could to keep me from getting here tonight. But I made up my mind from the very moment I woke up. I was coming with intentions for the King. And I know maybe you feel like that you just got here. But the Lord said you got here for a reason. Oh, my Lord and my God. Hallelujah. I praise you tonight, Lord Jesus. If you have your Bible and you want to follow along, I encourage you to turn with me. I believe it will be in the book of Exodus. And we're going to read in the 23rd chapter. And I'm going to begin at the 20th verse. Oh, I thank God that you're here. Because I feel it in my heart that some of you need this. And I'm not looking at how many are here. I feel this all over me. I know that God sent this for you tonight. I know that God is, He knows exactly what people need when they need it, and He knows exactly how many need to be here to get it. So don't get discouraged. Don't look down on yourself. Don't hang it up. Don't give up. Don't quit. And certainly don't be defeated, because the God I serve has not changed, nor will He fail you in your time of need. Well, my Lord and my God, if there's ever a time to show who He is in us, it's today. Hallelujah. Be not weary in well doing. Glory to God. And I'm not going to. Let's begin reading. Exodus 23, verse 20. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Can you say that? To the place which God has prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For my angel shall go before thee, and bring thee into the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods. Oh, no. Nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them, my Lord, and quite break down their images. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread, hallelujah, and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. Thy number of days I will fulfill.
I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make them all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. And I will send thee hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beast of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea unto the sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest thou make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. Father, I thank you tonight for this opportunity to be here. God, and I offer myself as if I were standing in the midst of a multitude. For I believe, Lord, you reward those that will diligently seek you. God, and I know for each and every one that's here that you have purposed for this moment that they receive the word of God and grow and be blessed from it. And I pray I execute your will according to how you see it to be. Father, lead us by your Spirit, and let our flesh die, and let your anointing thrive. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And the church said, there's so much ground to cover, I've just got to get right into where this is. Now we find in this moment that God is beginning his promise to the children of Israel on their journey to the promise. God was making sure that before they ever headed out in the first step, that they were receiving his promise. Before they ever endured the first snare, that he was giving them a blessed assurance, that he was making sure that they knew that he was preparing the way. Now I'm here to tell you tonight, before you ever stepped into the first thing that you are going through, before it ever happened, before it was ever arranged that you'd ever know something was coming, I want to tell you something tonight. God made a way for you. He opened up a pathway that where he has intentions for you to go, that he made the way so that you could get there. It is not impossible. It's not some far-fetched dream to believe in what God has in store for us. And I have to go ahead and set the groundwork tonight. He has made a way for you. Look over at somebody and tell them, he made a way for you. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way. Not out of the way. Not onto the side. Not in the ditch. But in the way, in the way. What is the way, right? We know the way as Jesus Christ. It became the way for us as he died for us. And behold, God sent his son down that it would make a way where we had no way. Do you see where we're going with this tonight? You see, back then in that time, they needed the angel of the Lord to guide them to the promise that he had in store. But I'm telling you, Jesus Christ came so that the promise would be established, the pathway would be made, and we would be able not only to be free from sin, but be able to be blessed and highly favored and on our way to exactly what God told us belonged to us. Number two, I'm going to tell you tonight, don't you dare be deceived. Don't think that it's the end of the road. Don't believe that you've reached the best you're ever going to be. God has so, oh Lord, I feel this. God has so much more. I don't care if you shout or not. You better not living your life and be in denial. God has more for you than you could ever fathom. God has more in store than we could ever believe. God has more planned ahead of you than you've even known is coming to pass. You see, the devil wants you to stay right where you are before you ever get to the promise, but Jesus came that you'd have a pathway to what God has intentions on you to have. Beware of him. Obey his voice. Who is the voice of the angel in you? What is that thing that tells you and guides you and teaches you and corrects you and shows you the understanding and wisdom and knowledge of God? Well, we know and understand this presence in us as the Holy Ghost as it is made manifest. We know then and understand that we hear from God as he is anointed in our temple. Christ made the way so the door could be opened, and the Holy Spirit of God has made abide in you so that you would know the way. God made the way, Jesus opened the door, and the Spirit gives you the knowledge to know where you're going. Now, some of you tonight may feel pretty lost in your situation. But I'm here to tell you, if you'll get in where the anointing of God is, if you'll abide under the shadow of the Almighty, if you'll get inside the cleft of the rock, if we'll stop compromising to every single thing that the devil puts in our pathway and take a stand to say, God's anointing is more important to me. It's more important to me to know where I'm going. It's more important for me to be healed than it is to sit here sick. It's more important to me that my children be saved. It's more important to me that my church grow than it die. It's more important to me that God be in me than for him to be against me. It's more important to me to serve him, not just for the numbers, not just for the shouts, not for the dances, not for the running, not just for speaking in tongues, but to know where it is that I'm going. Without direction, we're all lost. Without direction, our worship is in chaos. Without direction, our ministers will not know how to lead the people. Without the direction of God's Spirit, we'll not know where we need to retain people when they're on the verge of giving up. Without the Spirit of God, we'll not produce conviction. Without the Spirit of God, we won't know whether to do this thing or whether to do that thing. Without the Spirit of the living God, we'll walk without direction and we'll be like the blind leading the blind. But I'm here to tell you tonight, the world is sick and tired of hearing people say what they know is best. They need a kind of person that says, I heard from the Spirit of the Lord, and God said, there's hope for your life. I'm here to tell you tonight, the devil may be telling you that you're reaching the end of the road, that it's not getting any better, that it's going to be this way forever. But I speak to your body, I speak to your mind, I speak to your soul tonight, and tell you that God has made a way where there would not have been one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He made a way when we didn't have one. Jesus makes the way. He opens the door. The Spirit provides voice, but we've got to hear it. Amen, O me. Ouch, whatever. You pick whatever works for you tonight. I'll tell you right now, every day I get up is a brand new battle. It's not going to get any better tomorrow. And I can't keep putting off the reality that's in front of me. Every day I'm getting older. Every day I'm getting more tired. Every day I face more responsibility than I had behind me. Every day there's a new devil. Every day there's a new form of evil. Every day there's a new form of temptation. And how are we ever going to win against what the devil's trying to do if we're not listening to God? What are we going to do when the day comes, when the drunk comes in the door and they cry for help and all that we have is knowledge on our own? What are we going to do when the day has come when the Spirit of the Lord can't abide inside of a church service? Have we reached the point where we've stopped listening to the Lord God? I know if you go through something hard, it's easy to try to cut it off. But I'm here to tell you, despite what the devil will make you think, it's going to be the same mess tomorrow as it is today. It's going to be just as hard tomorrow as it is today. It's going to be more difficult ahead of you than it is behind you. So how are you going to make it? Through Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which is my strength. Hallelujah. God made a way through his angel. And he didn't just say he was making a way. He made some promises in there too. You find in that passage it wasn't just one promise. You find that he gave more than around a dozen promises. God didn't just give them one reassurance. He gave them continual reassurance that in every step of the journey that they were going to have to take, that he was still going to be God. I don't know if anybody else is going through anything in here, but I'm here to tell you, even though it's going to be hard tomorrow, I know that my God is still going to be God. I know that when I don't have you there to pray for me on the phone and I call out his name, that God is still going to be God. I know when we don't have everybody here to worship like we want to, that if we'll get in the midst of his presence, that God will still be God. I'll tell you what's happening these days. We've lost our way. There is a very huge falling away from God. We don't want to hear about how we need to do better. We don't want to have responsibility or obligation to serve God. But we want all the benefits and royalties that come with the membership. I want God to take care of my family. Well, don't you know everybody in this room has the same agenda? We all want our family to be blessed. When we all come in, I know deep down in the depths of your heart, you want your church to grow and be blessed. Don't you know that everybody else in this room possesses the same intention? But I'm here to tell you right now, when we're divided by not listening to the anointing of God, without unity, there is no prosperity, and we need God's hand in the midst of every step that we're on in this place. Well, brother, I feel like I'm in a low point. Well, there's no better place to start than when you feel like you've got nothing. You might think you're here for no reason. I might even be annoying you right now in this moment. But I'm here to tell you, when you're at your lowest point, is the greatest opportunity where God can bless your life. When you feel like you have emptied out all that you are, all that you have left, all that you possess, and nothing else matters more than God, I'm here to tell you, you're in a good place with him. To seek you first the kingdom of heaven is also to say to seek the world last. I face my challenges all the time. Get too busy. Amen? Anybody admit that tonight? Anybody? We all get too busy to listen. I'm not talking about to praise. I'm not talking about to get here or even to open the Bible or read a devotional on your cell phone. I'm talking about we're too busy to listen. You see, there's an exchange that God wants to have with you. He wants to hear from you. And he wants you to hear from him. There's a holy dialogue, my brother, that God wants to give you every day when you feel like nobody cares. He wants to whisper in your ear that he still loves you. Even when you feel like nobody's on your side, he wants to get right behind you and pat you on the back with his love and tell you that you're not alone. God's promises are yea and amen. They are yes and they are yes. They are only so. Hallelujah. Don't give up on what God has in store for you. You gotta open your ears and your spiritual eyes. To open your spiritual eyes is to open your ears to God. If you're gonna open your spiritual eyes and know what's going on around you, you gotta listen. Well, brother, I'm here. So I'm listening. I'm here. I'm in attendance. I'm here. I sang tonight. I'm here. I played the drums. I'm here. Don't tell me I'm not listening because I showed up. But there's something else to do with what you hear. There's action. There's action to be taken. There are demons to be crushed by your very faith. There is darkness that should be revealed by light by your very words. There are services that need to be transformed from your song. There is something to do in God's house. And it's more than just listening to me. It's more than listening to Pastor Doris. It's more than just praising him when the song sounds good. It's more than that. There is a exchange, a holy exchange that God wants to have with you on a regular basis. Because if you do not let God dwell in you, then Christ's sacrifice in you was done in vain. He did not die for you to say, I don't want to hear from God. He died so that you could understand what it is that you need to be victorious. Some of you might be asking, well, my Lord, what's got into him tonight? And I'll tell you what's got into me. I heard from God, and I'm excited about what I heard. I was reaching a point of breakdown in some things, and I needed God to move. And he put this scripture in my heart. And from the very first verse that I read about the promise of the angel of God, and I began to think about that, and I said, Lord, in my little 8x8 cubicle on the second floor of a building where nobody knows where I am, they couldn't find me even if they had it on a map, where nobody knows, where nobody understands what I do, what I go through, you still have angels that are all around me. You still have your power that's all around me. You still have your anointing that is all around me. That is something not to forget. That is something not to neglect. So now let's go on. Let me read a little to you tonight. The Lord warned his people that when they enter into the land of Canaan, they must not conform to the practices of the Canaanites. We're going to read about some of these practices in 2 Kings 21, if you want to follow along. Manasseh did evil in the eyes of Jehovah. Following the detestable practices of the nations Jehovah had driven out before the Israelites, he rebuilt the high places his father Hezekiah had destroyed. He also erected altars to Baal and made an Asherah pole as Ahab, king of Israel, had done. He bowed down to all the starry hosts and worshiped them. He built altars in the temple of Jehovah, of which Jehovah had said in Jerusalem, I will put my name. In both courts of the temple of Jehovah, he built altars to all of the starry hosts. He sacrificed his own son in the fire, practiced sorcery and divination, and consulted mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the eyes of Jehovah, provoking him to anger. The altars that we build on this earth are unseen. My Lord, the things that we erect in the house of the living God, we don't see. It's the silent killer of the Christian today. Things that are more important than God, we build up so high that we don't even comprehend before it's too late that we have put something in between us and God. And when we erect so many of these, we cannot dwell where He is. And in fact, rather than provoking justice on our behalf, we provoke His wrath to bring justice upon us. You see, God will not be mocked. He will not be made a fool, and He will not be made to be a liar. And if we continue to build up these things in our personal lives, no one else may see them. But when you come in here, God sees how high this thing you're dealing with has become. When the Lord showed that to me, I didn't know what to do with that. Yeah, we have a table here and we have stairs that we could pray at. But the altars we're setting up today aren't reaching to God. They're not. They're not. You know what we worship? We worship our anger. We worship our pain. We worship our sadness as if it ruled us. We worship our loneliness and think nobody cares. We worship our lack of energy and give it honor by not getting up and fighting on anyway. We worship our lack in things and say we never deserve to have it. We worship something that we inherited from somebody else and think we can never break the curse, that I just have to be this way because my father was this way, or my mother was this way, or that it's in my DNA, or I was meant to be this way, or from birth I was called to be this way. But I'm here to tell you tonight, each and everything that you have more important than God is an altar that you have erected, and when you erect things that are bigger than God in your life, you shall not prosper. You can throw that back if you want. I'll take it with me. Without getting rid of our hindrances, we will never thrive. Well, brother, it's just an off night. I disagree with you. Well, we ought to wait till Sunday. That's when we really get cranked off. I disagree. Do you know that in our lack of obedience, that we erect an altar of disobedience? Whew. This is good stuff tonight. Preach on, Brother Jared. I'm about to get my own amen in a minute. I got no shame. I'll do it. I don't care. God wants you to get a hold of this tonight. We're building up things bigger than He is, and our promises are on the other side of the walls that we have built up. Your healing, your freedom may be behind your anxiety. Well, I'm too afraid to testify, but if you just would obey Him and break down the very walls that you feel like you cannot remove, on the other side is your promise. Whew. I'm bold enough to say tonight, I know what my walls are. I know the things that bother me. I feel pain. I feel that spirit of depression try to come by and put me down. I feel hurt. I feel neglect. I feel alone from time to time. But I realize it's those things that are building up our walls that are keeping us from what God has already made a way for.
My Lord, I feel this. There are some walls in all of our lives. Say all of us. There are walls in all of our lives that we need to learn to break down brick by brick. So that when we are afraid, that somebody else will come by your wall and take one down and say, come on and obey God tonight. That when some poor preacher's up here trying his best, that you'll at least give him one amen before you give up on the sermon. Hallelujah. These altars will not bring what you want to happen. And it's very simple. Now I'm going to break this down and put my teacher hat on for a minute. We are either choosing to follow God or we are an enemy of God. One of two choices you possess. You can choose to serve God, or you can be another brick in the wall that keeps people from being saved. Well, brother, it's a lack of God's power in the day we live in. Well, it's just the day of evil that we're in. Don't you know that throughout all of the scripture that they faced an evil they thought they could not overcome? It's not like they were sitting there doors and they had all kinds of faith to say, yeah, we can do this. Yeah, we can get to that promised land. They were afraid, just like we are. They were unsure of themselves, just like we can be of our own. And I find that there's no individual that has greater power on me than me. That's why God spent so much of his love toward us, that he could help us fix us by saving us. That's why he took the time to promise his anointing and made a way that as it is in you, it helps you to live not only in the moment you need it, but in the season that you don't expect that you will. Now let's go on a little further. I'll be done in just a minute. In this passage, the Lord makes a dozen promises to his people. 12 times the Lord declares, I will do for you. They can be broke down into three key items, and I want you to get a hold of this. Number one, I will guide and lead you to the promised land of Canaan. I will lead and guide you. Don't think that the Spirit's just for your gift. It's how you know where you're going. Can't hardly use Google Maps unless your phone's got a good charge, right? Can't use GPS sometimes if you've let the battery get wore out. You've got to plug it up. In other words, you've got to be connected with God and his power to know where you're going. You've got to have that. Or you won't enjoy church, you won't enjoy preaching, you won't enjoy singing. You'll reach such a place in your life where God will appall you more than it will pleasure you. And when you're in that place, you know what? There's somebody that's looking at you. It's got his eye on you. You know who that is? It's Satan. He's got his eye on you. He's just waiting for the day that you finally build up so many walls to the light that all that you're doing is sitting in darkness. But God did not call us that we would be defeated. He said that we would prosper, be in good health and sound mind, fervent in spirit, abundant in love, because his love was shed abroad by what? The power of the Holy Ghost. Number two, I will guard you from your enemies and drive them out before you. That applies to cancer. That applies to sickness. That applies to people that aggravate you at your job. That applies to a difficult and strenuous marriage. That applies to your debts. That applies to your children. Whatever it is that's going on, God will not let a devil prosper or get more glory than he will. No way. God will not let the devil have victory over what already belongs to you. How can the devil have victory over something that you've already won? How can he have victory over our praise, Doris? I'll never know. How can he have victory in our church services when all we have to do is speak the name of Jesus and he'll flee? How have we walked in such a place where we feel like we have no power, where if we just speak his name, change begins to happen? Just one word changes everything. He will lead you and guide you. He'll guard you from your enemies and drive them out of the way. You see, God don't just tell the devil, "Would you kindly step aside? I want to let them go on through." Have you ever met a person with a bad spirit that was going to stand there and open the door for you? Or do they not go on through on their own themselves? Excuse me, I'm going on. If they don't want to get in with me, I'm going on. There's a right kind of spirit to be in, is what I'm telling you. And I'll tell you this much. I go to plenty of enough churches to know this. There are more wrong spirits that are saying they're right than there are right spirits that will admit from time to time they're wrong. There are more people that think that they know exactly how to run their life, that they never listen, and they never change. I'm here to tell you tonight, we're living in a day of people in Christianity that doesn't want to listen, doesn't want to change. They don't want to change. They don't want to change who they are. They want to accept God, but they don't want God to abide. I'm glad you go to church. I'm glad you believe, but I believe I'm meant to be this way. Not so, my friend. God separated in the beginning of time what was light and the darkness. And as he put his consciousness in us, he separated what was right and what was wrong. And in that separation, by Christ's ability in us, we have the authority to say, "I'm going the right way." You don't have to continue to fail. I'd tell you to say that over to your neighbor, but your neighbor's probably too proud to admit they failed before. So I'll say it to myself. Number three, I will cause you to enter the land and enjoy my blessing for you. So what is this really telling us? His promises were reminding us that life and its seasons are a process. There are steps. There are seasons. There are times of good, times of bad. There are mountains and there are valleys. There are moments of glee, moments of heartbreak. There'll be times where you're ready to bear what's coming. And there'll be times you never thought you could ever do it again. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, there is power in listening to who guides you. There is power in understanding who will protect you against your enemies. And it's important to understand above all of that, that you go through these things to get to what he's promised you. We didn't just walk over here one day and this building be finished. It was a process. I didn't just jump in this outfit and say, I'm ready to go to church. To buy it, to coordinate it, was a process. I didn't just walk away from drugs without having to say no to some things on my way out of my bondage. It was a process. I didn't just hop up here and start evangelizing thinking I'm T.D. Jakes. It's a process. I didn't roll out of bed the next day and say I'll never be depressed again. It's a process. And what God was trying to tell them before they ever headed to Canaan, that he would be with them, that he would drive out their enemies, and that they would arrive to what he had promised them. Now, we started out tonight talking about that he prepared a place. Stay with me. This is good right here. When Jesus died, he prepared a place. When the Spirit of God entered into you, he prepared a place. And when the Son of God went away, he said, though I go away, I'll send you another comforter. What else did he say? That I may go away and prepare a place. Here's what I have to prophesy and encourage you tonight on. You may not see it. You may know it's yours. You may not see it, but I'm here to tell you, God has made a place. And in that place is exactly what you are believing God can do. Where there is no sting, he said he'd send the hornets. Oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, grave, where's your victory? He prepared a place that where the sting of the world will cause them to die and eternally dwell in hell, he took the sting away from us because he loved us. He took away the punishment that we deserved. And by his grace, he lets us live and learn from it. You know what? I'm learning every day. I realize that I'm only right probably 1% of the time. And you know when I'm right that 1% of the time? Is when I say, Lord, you're right. I'm wrong. You're right. I'm wrong. When we listen to him, he doesn't lead us to places that do not possess the things we're looking for. He leads us to exactly what we're desiring. He said, whatsoever you desire in your heart when you pray, believe. The very moment you begin to believe, it exists in his realm. You getting a hold of that tonight? The very moment you speak healing for your body, it exists. And my Lord, I feel this. The moment you say, I'm going to do better tomorrow, God, because I believe you're going to be with me, in his realm, it begins to exist. You get that vision in your spirit of your children being saved, and you say, God, I believe that they're coming. From the very moment you speak it, it exists in his realm. And you know what his spirit does? It leads you to what you are spoken into existence. The children of Israel wanted out of their bondage. No doubt they called out to God for refuge. From the moment their faith was ignited, what happened? A promise produced a place. A promise produced a place. If God has promised you freedom from sin, then there is a place where you are free from sin. If he promised you sound mind, you hear me under the sound of my voice. If God has promised you sound mind, there is a place where you can dwell, where you'll be at peace. If by the stripes of Christ you are healed, then there's a place of healing. There's a place of forgiveness. There's a place of inspiration. There's even a place, Doris, of revival. I feel that burning all over me. I'm going home better than what I come in, whether you do or not, my friend. God has a place for you that if you'll believe by faith, you shall receive what you desire. Whatsoever you sow, so shall you reap. Brother, I just don't know. Let me read these scriptures as I come to a close. 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. But as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and of which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Why do you worship, brother? Because I love him. Why do you praise him, brother? Because I love him. Why do I love him? Because he first loved me. We make it so much more difficult than it needs to be. It's not motions, it's not tradition, it's not doctrine, it's not denomination, it's not tradition, it's not obligation, it's not normal. Life is not normal. You're going to endure things that need an abnormal presence. And if you've ever been through anything, I wish you'd say amen. Life is not normal. You will be tested and you will be tried. And God is looking for where you will stand. And either he will find you in his light of truth. Will you believe in his promise? Or the devil will find you in the midst of darkness. Let me read a couple more. Luke 22 and 12. And he will show you a large, furnished upper room. Prepare it there. God has a place of elevation for you. At any given moment, I'm here to tell you, you've always got another step up higher in front of you. No matter where you are in your life, each day that we're saved, Brother Joe, it's one step higher to heaven. Each day that we profess, it's one step closer to where he is. Each day that I believe, I'm climbing up from glory. Do you get that tonight? To glory. Each day that I make up my mind that I'm not going to listen to what I let the devil tell me all week again, it's one step closer to where he is. I have a whole lot of people that tell me what we feel like that we need. But I'll be truthful with you. I look back in myself and at all of us, and I find a whole lot of people that aren't listening. If we were, we would not walk in darkness. Had we listened, even tonight, things could be better. You can receive it or not. That's your choice. I'm just here to help you. You have a decision to make. You got to choose to either be on your way to the place God has promised you, or like some of them, having known the promise, get stuck in the wilderness. for what would have been 3 days' journey led them to 40 years of bondage. I have met some of the most talented singers, musicians, evangelists, prophets that I've ever met, but yet they were stuck in the wilderness. I've met people that could quote scripture, read entire chapters aloud without reading the paper, wonderful memories of scripture, but stuck in the wilderness. I've seen churches built bigger than this one, where you walk in and you already know before it begins that the Spirit of the Lord hadn't been there in a long, long time. You don't have to travel too far to realize just how dark that it is. We don't even have to leave tonight without understanding the power of the enemy. I hope to God that when you leave here, for now on the rest of your days, that you never blame me again for a bad service. You want to know who our biggest hindrance is? It's us and the devil that taunts us. You can blame me if you want, but I don't have the power. You have the power to ignore me, therefore, I can't be your hindrance. You have the power to sit down in the midst of God's anointing, in the midst of great singing. That's your choice. And guess what? There are a lot of people here that needed to be here, but they made a choice to stay at the house. And we got to be the people that keeps them here by how we love them. We're losing them. I'm just going to be plain. I'm amongst adults and friends. We're losing them. We're losing people's hope and faith in God. We're neglecting opportunities to witness to people when we have them. We're missing out on moments to smile. We're missing out on moments to be happy. Every day that passes that we don't live to our full potential in God is a day that we've squandered. And we will give an account for all the days that we said we could not. We're going to give an account for all the days that we say, I'm too tired. We will answer for all the times where we build our altar bigger than His. One more scripture, Hebrews 11 and 16. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. He didn't just give you a broom closet. He's given you a mansion, not only in heaven, but in heaven on earth. He didn't just give you a place to look forward to when this life is over. He's given you moments in your life where you can say, Lord, though I was lost, You found me. When I was sick, You healed me. When I was broken, You picked up my pieces and made me something better. So what do you see in the future, Brother Jared? Well, I'm no psychic, but I can tell you this. There's a promise out there. Hear me. Hear me, you in Egypt tonight. There's a promise out there. There's a better you out there. There's a stronger you out there. There's a happier you out there. There's a better family for you out there. There's a better church for you out there. Doris, I feel this all over me. If this is the last one I'm remembered for, I hope you never forget this night, the night that everybody said, let's go home. But the preacher said, there's a place for you out there that God has made a way for. He has made a way for you. He has made a way for you. I don't know when I'll draw my last breath, but this I know. If I lose everything, I still have a place. I still have a place. When we lose our health, we still, oh, I feel this. I still have a place. When you get up tomorrow, you still have a promise. When you go through your next battle, you still have a promise. No matter how many days the devil will make you feel like you're in Egypt, there's a Canaan waiting for you. Hallelujah! There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. There's a blood to be thankful for, and there's a devil to stomp all over. There's a reason to live. There's a reason to be happy, and there's a God that has made it happen for all of us. For all of us. Behold, in the last days, I'll pour out all that I am upon you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I like to put it like that. He pours out all that he is upon you. You'll dream dreams. What is a dream? It's a vision of something that has not yet come. Hallelujah. Oh, you'll prophesy. You'll speak encouragement to things that you have not yet seen nor have heard. Hallelujah. God has given you what you need to get to where you're going. So in conclusion, you can say, thank you, Jesus. It's coming to an end. Your suffering is soon over. At the end of the day, you better know who you are. You better know who died for you. And you better remember where you're going. Don't get lost in this life. This isn't our final resting place. Don't give up just because it gets tough. Hang in there. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Hold to his promises, for they will not lie, nor will they fail. I didn't preach this tonight because there were 100 people in here. I didn't preach this tonight because I had to. I preached this tonight because I love you. And you know what I see? I see a place. Oh, I feel this. Oh, if you just got up and praised him for it, you'd go out stronger tonight. I see a place for you tonight where there is no, sickness, where there is no sorrow, where there is no pain, where there is no suffering. And it's not just in heaven, it's heaven in you. It's his praises in you. It's his power in you. It's his anointing in you. It's his joy in you. It's your authority over the enemy. It's the fact that the blood made you victorious. Hallelujah. So with all that you can and all that you are, give the Lord a praise tonight.